Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in the mid-1500s, the astronomer Nicolaus Copernicus wrote a book making the case that the sun, rather than the earth, is at the center of our solar system. Many people were initially uncomfortable with that idea. They were accustomed to thinking that we are at the center of it all, and it took some time for them to become comfortable with this different way of seeing things. In fact, that change was so significant that it came to be known as the Copernican Revolution. In this morning's gospel reading, Jesus calls for a similar change of thinking. In this case, not involving how we see the earth in this solar system, but rather involving how we see ourselves in this life. One prominent characteristic of our fallen sinful nature is that we each tend to think of ourselves as being at the center of everything and everything revolving around us. And Jesus calls for a change of thinking. You could call it a revolutionary change of thinking, as he calls for us to take a step back and instead see others at the center. Jesus was a dinner guest at the home of a Pharisee when he noticed that the other guests were selecting for themselves the places of honor at the table. And so, as we heard from Luke, Jesus began to tell them a parable, a story about things that could happen when you attend a wedding feast. He began by saying, when you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the place of honor. Now, although this dinner that Jesus was at was not actually a wedding feast, it would not have been difficult for the people who were there to see how these words and this story applied to them. And if we'll each take an honest look into our own hearts, it probably won't be all that difficult for us to also see ways that these words and this story apply to us. The people at the dinner that evening had been literally taking the places of honor as they took their places around the table. But the same principle of not taking the place of honor for ourselves also applies to other situations in life. When there is a decision to be made, whether it's something small like what channel the TV should be on or what to have for dinner, or whether it's something more significant, when there's a decision to be made and we think that our own preferences should count more than other people's, when we put our own happiness first, aren't we really doing exactly what Jesus described, putting ourselves in the place of honor? If we ever find ourselves thinking more about how we think other people should be treating us rather than what we could be doing to help them, aren't we, again, choosing for ourselves the place of honor? And in more general terms, when we view things first and foremost through the lens of how it affects us, doesn't that really amount to taking the place of honor for ourselves? It's a temptation that we all face, and it's one that we've all often given into. And when we do give in to that temptation, particularly when we adopt that as our general approach to life, it isn't good for the people around us, and in fact, it isn't good for us either. That's where Jesus went next in his comments that day, as he proceeded to discuss some of the practical consequences that follow when we do take for ourselves the seat of honor. Jesus said, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him, and he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person,' and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place." And here, Jesus identifies two things that can follow from taking a place of honor for ourselves. First, we need to realize that when we take that place of honor, we are depriving someone else of that place. When we put our own happiness first, we are saying that someone else's happiness is not so important. When we want the light of recognition or appreciation shine especially on ourselves, we are also directing that light away from somebody else. And out of love for our neighbor, we should not want it to be that way. A second consequence of taking for ourselves the place of honor is that when other people see us doing that, it certainly does not make them think any more highly of us. They might very well notice that we are depriving someone else of that place. And certainly we are not doing anything to inspire the people around us or to lift up their spirits when we take that kind of me-first approach. I've often heard people express how they so admire another person's humility, how they're touched by, sometimes even inspired by, another person's selflessness. Certainly one of the qualities that I most appreciate and respect in other people. In contrast, I don't remember ever hearing anyone say that what they most appreciated in another person was how they were so focused on themselves, how they so consistently put themselves first or expected others to put them first. Putting others ahead of yourself can lift people up and can inspire them. Putting yourself first does not lift up or inspire anyone. It just pulls everyone down. When we see the contrast between those two ways, the difference is clear and the right way to go is clear. And so Jesus continues by saying, "But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place." Taking the lowest place for yourself shows humility in your attitude toward yourself. And it also shows love toward your neighbors by reserving the higher places, the more honored places, for them. That is the kind of attitude and action that can lift people up, can inspire them, and can make this world a warmer and more loving place to live. And when we do humbly take that approach to life, we don't have to worry that we're going to somehow get left behind or left out. Jesus continued by saying, "When you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you." The point that Jesus is making in this part of his teaching is not that we should act humbly so that someone will then lift us up and honor us. Rather, Jesus wants us to understand that when we live in genuine humility and selfless service to others, that is appreciated. And he wants us to know that that appreciation will be expressed. It might be expressed by people in this life. And as we abide in humble faith, we know that that appreciation will certainly be expressed beyond this life, when we'll hear our Lord himself, our divine host, saying to us in the words of Matthew 25, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. For I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. All those deeds of selfless service, which flow out of a humble faith put in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, all those acts, big or small, of humility and selflessness, those acts do not earn our salvation, but they are appreciated by our Savior, and he wants us to know that. And so Jesus concludes his discussion of seating at a wedding feast by saying, "Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And in fact, Jesus himself is the one who will exalt us. And that brings us to one of the most important things to remember about this lesson from Jesus. In the first part of this lesson, Jesus teaches us not to exalt ourselves. In the second part, Jesus wants us to know that in his grace, he looks forward to exalting us, to lifting us up. As our host, when he welcomes us to his table, he looks forward to saying to us, "Friend, come here. Move up higher." In the first part of this lesson, we are taught that we need to remember that it's not all about us. And in the second part, Jesus is letting us in on the fact that to him, it is all about us. Everything that he did was for us so that we can one day be exalted. He took on human flesh for us. He lived a life of selfless, humble service for us. He died on the cross for us, bearing for us the weight of all our sin. And he then rose from the dead for us to show that he had conquered sin, death, and the devil for us. It was all for us from beginning to end. Because for Jesus, purely out of his undeserved love for us sinners, it has always been all about us. I mentioned earlier the discomfort that some people had adjusting to the Copernican revolution, no longer seeing the Earth at the center of our solar system. But that discomfort was misplaced, because ultimately what really matters is not how our Earth fits into this solar system. It really doesn't matter that, as Copernicus observed, our planet's not at the center of things. What matters far more is that from God's perspective, you are at the center of things. That in his gracious perspective, you are at the center of everything. You are at the center of God's thoughts. You are at the center of God's heart. And compared to the ways of this world, that is a pretty revolutionary way of thinking. To understand that we don't need to focus on looking out for ourselves, because we have a Savior whom we can trust to always be looking after us. And to realize that there is no point in trying to exalt ourselves when we have a Savior who humbled himself on the cross for us, so that we can freely share in the exaltation and glory of his heavenly kingdom. A Savior who freely lowered himself down for us so that he can lift us up. For all that he has done for us, for his matchless mercy, forgiveness, and grace. As we sang a few minutes ago, "Not unto us, but to him be all glory, honor, and praise, now and forevermore. Amen." And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.